It is Wednesday, 30th of July, and this is episode 172 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to another sunny episode. I'm Chris and joined by Ian as ever. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Chris.
You're all right? Everything good?
Yeah, not bad.
You say that, you've had migraines.
I know, but I'm lying.
Through your teeth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no one needs to know this today.
Thanks for telling everyone.
That's all right. And I've all worked out. So really, these smiles and this joyous sound from our voices is totally disgenuine. No, what's the word?
Disingenuous.
That's the word. Exactly that. Let's get on with some news. let's tone it down a bit. Unfortunately, Doug Engelbart has passed away.
Who's Doug Engelbart?
Why should we worry about Doug Engelbart? Well, he actually invented the mouse as well as a number of other devices and facilities that we use every day, things like the graphical user interface. He was quite instrumental in that. So it's kind of sad in the IT world that this man has passed.
Definitely a pioneer. He was seemingly in the room when the internet was switched on as well. Mm. So I had a lot to do with hypertext. And so a lot of what we use today is down to him and a few others. So yeah, sad day. Sad day. Set the tone for the podcast.
Yeah, it's knocked it on the head a bit now. Facebook. They're good for a laugh. we talked last week about how they got moaned at by BCIB and a number of other manufacturers like Nissan nationwide, that they were running adverts on pages that displayed unsavory content, and they've been pretty quick to react by all counts.
Yes, and I guess money talks.
Yeah, of course it does, especially when you've got shareholders.
Yeah, so there was a number of big companies had pulled adverts, and also...
Well, not just adverts, whole campaigns, literally not advertising on Facebook, basically, yeah.
Yes, I mean, Sky had pulled theirs as well because it was an M&S voucher promotion, but it was placed on a Facebook page called Cute and Gay Boys, and there was no control. There's no control for these big companies about where their ads were getting placed, and enough was enough. So Facebook have acted really quickly, so basically what they're doing is they're kind of manually pulling a lot of adverts. And we said last week...
Is it 2 billion pages or something stupid like that?
And we said there's no way you can manually do it, but they've obviously got the manpower and a team.
They've hired India.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And what they're basically, they're kind of pulling manually, but also they're now going to restrict adverts from appearing next to pages and groups that contain violent graphic or sexual content.
I wonder whether they're going to have to sort of have some tick boxes on those pages to say, are you doing that? And then some sort of manual vet afterwards as time goes on. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like a sensible decision. It sounds like the decision that had to be made for them going forward. So good for them for doing it so quick. It's only a week later and they're already in the process of doing that. Well, how long it'll actually take to put in place, it's hard to say.
Well, they've said that by the end... So this broke last Thursday after we'd done the podcast on Wednesday. So... Mm. They're basically saying by the end of this week they expect this manual. Wow.
That really is. They must have a lot of people doing this.
Yeah. Well, and whether they've farmed it out, there's always that, Mechanical Turk and all that kind of stuff. So whether they've taken a whole load of the content and got a massive team, stood up to do this, I don't know. What they hope to do is this laborious manual effort by the end of this week, but also they want to have in place a kind of scalable automated way of doing it. Which they need to, but that will take a few weeks to do.
Yeah, to work all that out and to get it reliable is going to take longer than even that. So,
and to get it right, I mean, it's
but well, it's you good. Know that there's going to be ads pulled against. But then again, if you're a page owner, you're not earning money off those ads anyway, as it's just Facebook, I think. So really, from the page owner's point of view, it's not important. It's just from, an advertiser point of view. So it's not like page owners are going to moan if it gets withdrawn from their page. So they'll probably be a bit oversensitive, really. We've had the government announcing they're gonna actually set up a crack squad for cutting down on piracy and counterfeiting.
Sweeney.
In these times of austerity, they're getting the IPO, the Intellectual Property Office, to actually fund, or at least partially fund, this new set of offices, new office department.
Yes.
Mm. It's almost like it's a really, really highly important thing in today's world.
Yeah.
You know, bigger than all the other crimes going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the money talks.
Yeah, of course it does. And so, they rightly say that, you know, this is an industry which a lot of people are employed into. Doesn't matter what your argument is about whether they're legitimately employed or whether they're just free riding off of old world. I don't know, but nevertheless, 1.5 million jobs and 36 billion, in revenue each year, which is a lot of money.
And we'd had a story, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, that seemingly the kind of letters and the three strikes kind of stuff had all kind of fell on its backside. But this announcement is seemingly also in the back of people starting to see letters. But this was to torrent website owners, so this wasn't to individuals at home, because I think that's what the three strikes is all about.
Mm-hmm.
But this was individuals who are hosting a website that might link to their content. They've been receiving letters to say, naughty boys.
Yeah, it seems like this is more and more of an actual thing. So even if your website has nothing to do with the content, if you are linking to other websites that have that content on, you are now being deemed to be gaining, profiteering from that illegal activity. So it's more and more of a thing, basically. And I'm sure now they've got 2.5 million of funding. They've got to show something for that money. Amazon Auto Rip. This was a feature that got added in the US beginning of the year. And basically, if you've bought albums on Amazon, you can now go and log into their Amazon player and those albums will be in your library ready for you to listen, stream and download, basically.
Have you tried it?
No, not yet. I don't buy very much music. It would be very disappointing if I went in there, probably. Probably just whatever I've bought someone for Christmas.
Well... You've hit the what is it? You've hit the nail on the head. That's what I wanted to say. Because a couple of guys at work tried it, and one was like, oh, I had one album. And it was like, your iPhone has got, like 20,000 tracks, and you've bought one album from Amazon. Nice. But one of the other guys had 530 albums.
Blimey neck.
So he bought all his music since Amazon basically started up. He's basically always buys it through Amazon. So virtually
definitely cheaper on Amazon, isn't it? I
think. Yep, his whole music collection is now available through Amazon's Cloud Player.
Brilliant. There you go.
So I hit the button, not expecting much because I thought, I can't remember buying CDs. And lo and behold, I had some early Chemical Brothers, and there was an Oasis in there, and there's a few others. But at the time I was buying stuff from CD Wow, because that whole kind of buy from Jersey and escape all the tax was all happening. But I also now have a couple of Cliff Richard, some Susan Boyle.
Yeah, but they're not the ones you bought for Christmas there. They're just...
I bought that for my mum. I think the one that topped it off was... and it's actually a fine album. I've listened to it now. It's Vera Lynn. So Vera Lynn, added to my music collection. Thanks, Amazon.
Yeah, now I bet there's at least one album in there which you'll blame on your mum, but actually was entirely down to you. I'm sure everyone will have that one.
No.
Yeah, fair enough.
No.
Samsung, they've bought Boxy.
This is amazing. I just thought they would copy them because that's all they do to Apple.
Have you seen the new HTC One advert on TV?
I haven't.
Unbelievable. It's like someone trying to imitate the Apple, this is how we make a unibody. And this is, just...
Oh, no,
diamond
you're kidding
tip.
Me.
Yeah, you've got to see this. It's amazing. But done really badly. But nevertheless, it still looks like a nice phone, obviously. But it's but the advert is just about, we carve this from a single, aluminium piece, and we lovingly craft and engineer it. It's brilliant. Anyway,
they have a fat English guy doing a voiceover as well.
Well, you don't ever see him, but I imagine he's fat and English. Samsung buying Boxy. So Boxy, I guess they're most famous for the Boxy Box, which is like a little streaming set-top box that's under your TV, and kind of wasn't very UK-focused. You could buy it in the UK, but really it didn't do much because everything was US service-orientated. Samsung have decided they're going to buy it. $30 million they spent on it.
Yeah, so just seemingly just under, which is not far off how much funding Boxy had raised. And Boxy was one of these firms that, alongside Plex and Xbox Media Center, they'd kind of taken the Xbox Media Center code and forked it, And then, so Boxing and Plex were really competing with each other for quite a while. And then they definitely went a different path. And it became all about cloud content rather than playing back your own content. It became really hidden away, which is a shame. One point, Boxy was really nice.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it recently, but I remember when I last looked at Boxy, it was quite an interesting proposition because, you know, all your watch laters and stuff you could store from any service around the net.
Exactly.
And stuff like that.
It was almost like a cloud DVR. So they were trying, it's almost like they were saying they're like a cloud TiVo, you know, so you could get access your content anywhere. So we'll see what happens. You know, Samsung are seemingly keen to add this into their portfolio of apps. And certainly if you look at any of their phones, they've got so many apps on there, you can probably slip in a Boxy app and it'll...
Well, not only that, but they obviously have all their set-top box content and all their latest TVs, which are actually getting good reviews and stuff like that. So maybe they're just trying to spread that out to, you can have the Samsung experience outside of Samsung TV, or just a different way of getting, you know...
And Samsung right now, they sell the most smart TVs.
I think they've got it cracked. They know what they're doing. My parents have got one and it's nice. And it worked. The Smart Hub works. So, I mean, what more do you want? That even parents can use it. Yeah, so we'll see what develops out of that. And like you say, it's surprising they haven't just done it themselves, really, but there you go. BlackBerry have been losing money left, right and centre, basically. Mostly because the market reacting to them not having the best quarter in the world. But their stocks are down something like 18% at the moment.
Yes. Well, they reported $3.1 billion in revenue, which sounds like quite a nice figure. And that's up year on year. So it's up 9%. So again, you think, ooh, but it's missed out on these analyst estimates. You know, those pesky analysts that say you really should be making X, and when they're missed, that... It's all just betting in the share market. It's rubbish.
So they're making more money. They're doing, you know, up every year. Yet because an analyst said they should be making what Apple makes, everyone thinks sinking
kind
ship.
Of. I think the fact they're brand new products and that they've not really kicked on as somebody would hope. I mean, if you see a brand new Samsung or Apple, there's a real spike in sales, and BlackBerry didn't get that spike, and I think that's a concern. And also the share price initially dropped 24%. I mean, it was just an instant sell. But the one thing that's a bit disappointing, and they talked about BlackBerry 10, so this is a new software that's coming out this year. And if you had a playbook, it would support it, but they've actually done a U-turn and says, nope, wasn't good enough. So you don't get that new software.
Yeah, and it's not a bad idea because playbook's pretty irrelevant. And I mean, their problem is that they're, other than the business market, which still holds on to some of these products, they are becoming more irrelevant in many ways. I think that's
just
probably a little bit harsh, but you know.
No, for a lot of people, it's just not a consideration. Mm-hmm. And if I look at the kind of like-minded, you know, folk like us, it's a straight choice between Android and Apple.
Yeah,
There's no discussion about, you know, Windows. There's no discussion about BlackBerry. There's nothing to keep. There's just nothing jumps out that makes you think, maybe I'll... No, you won't.
And Windows would come above it for me. I mean, it would be a higher consideration than BlackBerry. So, yeah, just there you go.
But it says everything.
It does.
Bringing endorsement from Chris.
Three, your best love, Three.
Cock.
They've new thing to spin around with the mobile industry. They've slashed all their pay-as-you-go prices. Not just slashed them; they really have murdered them. They're basically, you can make calls for 3p, which is down from 26p. Text charges have fallen from 11p to 2p. I mean, so huge things. And data's fallen for a megabyte of data. It's 1p down from 65p. So it's massive differences. And actually, in many, many cases, better than contract bundles. There's a few bundles out there where you can beat these prices from GIFGAF, and if you can put up with that network. But basically... You can have a pay-as-you-go phone where the credit doesn't run out until it's run out. So, you know, if you top up £10, it doesn't go at the end of the month. It stays there. Sounds good. I mean, I think it will stir things up.
Definitely. And it's almost delivering what people have asked for
ages. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people in pay-as-you-go, and you say, well, I've paid, you know, I don't know, a fiver, you know, for I don't know, 100 meg or something like that, or 500 meg. And then it gets to the end of the month and it disappears. And it's like, but I paid for it.
Yes, it doesn't, you know, roll
that used to be the thing that annoyed people. It was like, I'm paying for I'm paying for something and it just disappears. And this, I mean, and it's dead clear. You know, it's like 3p, 2p, 1p. And the thing that amazed me as well was usually it's skewed the other way. Fair enough, they are a data-driven company. But usually,
how's the data going for you?
I'll talk about that in a minute. So they are a data-driven company, and you can see that from the pricing structure, because most other people would say unlimited calls, unlimited text, you get 100 meg.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, that, yeah,
and,
they've
and
got
they're
it,
saying, actually,
it's the right way around.
You know, 3p for a voice call per minute, you know, 2p a text, and 2p a text sounds like, ouch. You think, bloody hell. But then it was 11p before.
Yeah.
And I think some
pairs you go is pretty easily 20p per text.
And the thing is, you know, there's so many using, you know, iMessage, you know, WhatsApp, you know, so, you know, just so many people are using other things. This is a real shocker. This is going to really shake things.
Well, I think people have to react to it, because certainly for the younger market, this is going to be the way forward. I mean, why wouldn't you do this? I mean, why would you pay 10p or 20p, whatever, you know? So
unfortunately for me, I think I'm moving away from 3.
Because their service isn't up to it.
And where I work, it's just appalling. And even, I mean, it turns out yesterday, and I didn't realise till later on, and I got home and I got a text message, and the text message said, you've got a voicemail. And it was all, the voicemail was... It was my credit card provider, you know, at 2:30 in the afternoon, trying to contact me. It's only when I got out of my work area that I was getting calls. So it's not even data. It was like, come on.
It's funny,
to be fair, I do need to go back to them, because I did raise a complaint and they've come back and said there's nothing wrong. And it's like, yeah, everybody I know that works here on 3, and it's just constantly dipping in and out as well.
I was at the Grand Prix this weekend, and basically even though you can see that there's a signal, it actually doesn't do anything. It doesn't make calls. It doesn't receive calls. It doesn't do data. This isn't on 3. This is on T-Mobile. But I'm wondering whether it's something to do with the capacity in the area. I mean, this is what I don't know. But obviously, Grand Prix is a bit of an extreme thing. But if they've only got one transmitter near your work and that gets overloaded by the number of people at your work using 3, maybe it's a similar thing where you can see kind of a signal, but actually it's not doing anything.
Yeah, and to be fair, the annoying thing is they tried to blame it on my iPhone. I says, but it's the same in the iPad. It's the same with my friends, you know, Samsung. You know, and they're like, oh, nobody else is reporting it. So a few of us probably have to get our act together and report it instead of just paying money and then moaning.
Yeah, don't keep giving them the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keeping on the mobile stuff, EE, they're gonna double their 4G. I think we did mention this before, but now they've basically by the end of July, sorry, from 4th of July, yeah, so that's
tomorrow.
Actually 2 years. They will be doubling capacity, and they say theoretically that's up to 150 megabits per second, but actually it's gonna, most users will see something like 24 to 30 megabits per second, but it's still pretty rocket ship if you live in the right areas.
Yep. Poor Shaq got all excited and started tweeting his speeds and said, wow, it was really fast. And I didn't have the heart to tweet him and say, it's tomorrow. So no doubt tomorrow will be doubly impressed.
He'll be super excited.
And I guess one thing to note, and I got this from a tweet, was that it's like, so fair enough, you're going to double your speeds. But if the speed that it currently was at wasn't enough to make you move, double the speed's not going to make you move either.
No.
Because they were already faster than everybody else. You know, so it's like, it's a kind of good headline, but the reality is, I don't think that's going to shift people.
No, and they're still not offering unlimited. They're still saying that nobody needs unlimited. And to be honest, in some respects, I think them not offering unlimited means that they can offer these kind of things quicker, because they're not, you know, they haven't got those users who do actually hog all the bandwidth. But they are going to allow you to share your tariff between devices, or even between family members,
which is a first for the UK, and we've talked about it a number of times, that I just want to pay one bill and whatever device is using up that data, so be it.
Yeah, SIM card doesn't cost anything, so why can't I have two SIM cards that are using at the same price,
or three or four or five,
yeah, or however many,
you know, and I'll definitely be taking a look at this as potentially an option.
Yeah, well, if it saves you having a data plan for across a number of different devices, then great.
Yeah,
that will save you money, even though it's going to cost more to go on the 4G.
Slightly more controversial is that from the 17th of July, So that's when the shared plan comes in. But they're also going to, if you sign up for a 24-month plan.
24 months?
I know. But if you sign up for a 24-month plan before 30th September, they'll double, you'll not only get the double speed 4G, but they're going to double the data allowances.
Okay.
For existing subscribers, you'll get double as long as you move to a higher premium, a higher tariff.
So it doesn't matter if you're already on the highest one, you're screwed on that then.
So it's like, because yeah. I noticed Jack again was tweeting saying I'd love to get more data because he's only on 3 gig and it's £31. Mm. You know, it's just and it's a lot of money.
Yeah, and so he's got to take another step up to even get the. So it actually he'd be quadrupling his data in effect potentially.
And that's what they're saying. You know, it's like we can double, triple, or could even quadruple the size of the standard plans. I'm sure you are, but his next step up I think is 40-something a month. Mm. Which is a lot of money. And I know it'll be a sickener if I signed up and was paying 31 and getting double the data.
Oh, you've almost got to do it just for that.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Hi, Shaq. How's your phone? All right. Yeah, oh, you're out of data. Oh, I've still got lots. Yeah. How much are you paying?
The same as me.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow.
So yeah. I think that's a bit, we just need to wait and see because I've said that's in a range of plans starting from 26 per month. And so the details, I guess, are a couple of weeks away. We'll find out the actual...
Early adopters are still going to feel a bit stung by that, aren't they, basically? It's just, it's just the way of it, but yeah.
Like... And I guess what we're seeing is that, I guess this is a first move from EE in the light of, I mean, a lot of the other providers says we'll be up and running for summer, and summer's here and there's no real...
there's no buzz around it at the moment, is there? No.
Nope, Vodafone have already said they're waiting to September, which everybody's just assuming is they're waiting for that next iPhone.
Yeah, which made sense because of all the band, band type.
So it's almost like the hype around the firms have kind of popped, and I guess this is the first salvo from EE. Get out there, get ahead of them again, because no doubt they'll be saying we're a lot faster than anybody else
and more reliable. They're going to say, you know, they've had the chance to get everything up and running, and you know what, the people who did jump to 4G straight away, I didn't think their advantage would last this long, so they've made a good move, really. Ubisoft got hacked. They're not letting us know what systems for security reasons, but nevertheless, they have told us that people have nicked emails and encrypted passwords.
The worst bit was the email, because I got an email. And I think
I had one.
Yeah, I got an email. And the worst bit about it was it looked like spam.
Well, maybe I got spammed then.
Yeah, because it came through and it was like really badly formatted and... You know, like dear member, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It just looked really poor. And I was like, what's this? And then when you looked on their website, there was nothing. I looked in a couple of the tech websites and game websites, there was nothing.
Yeah, so you think, and then you immediately think, is this a scam and stuff?
I noticed people, and so I wasn't clicking on anything. Yeah, it was like, but I noticed then a few other people on Twitter saying, I've just had an email from Ubisoft. It looks like they've been hacked, but I can't find any word of it anywhere. But there was a, and you can click through it, it was a kind of hidden away in the support platform. And it said, security update regarding your Ubisoft account. But again, when you went to it, it just looked like anybody could have spoofed this page. And is this really real? And there was no real news. So it was disappointing.
Nah, it's just going to happen more and more and more. Their recommendation is change your password immediately if you have got a Ubisoft account. Or any accounts that use similar passwords. They're not that, the passwords were encrypted, but potentially someone could work them back, I guess.
Yes.
Zynga have poached Xbox head Don Matrick.
Yeah, that's pretty much the story.
So Zynga, they did float, didn't they? So Zynga, famous for lots of the mobile games stuff.
They exploded massively, they floated, and then they're in free fall at the moment. Just laying off people left, right, and centre, struggling to get hit games again.
But it seems like Don Matrick was maybe looking for a way, or Matrick, I don't know how you say it, was looking for a way out anyway. He's been in charge when they've had some of their sort of more controversial musings recently, so things like the DRM and the... how Xbox One was going to work and all that kind of stuff. But, he's talking about how he wants to go to Zynga because Zynga are trying to, bring the world together via the medium of games. And you think whenever you hear someone say they want to go to a company because of that, it ain't nothing like that. They've just been offered a good lot of money and they know it's better than what they've got already. So, you know,
similarly,
no one wants to unite the world via the medium of games. No. They just want a bigger paycheck and more security.
And there was lots of rumours that he was being overlooked in a reshuffle at Microsoft. You know, he was hoping to be in charge of, you know, a lot more than he currently is, and he was getting overlooked. So before that all kind of shuffled out, he was like...
So Zynga Kem said, come here, be in charge of
it. And I mean, the market's reacted. Seemingly, everybody thinks it's a good move. He used to work for EA, so he has got a lot of experience in the games industry. I've always thought he looked terrible when he was doing presentations.
Be interested to know what the existing the person he's replacing, because the person he's replacing is going to still sit on the board and is still going to be chairman on that board. So I wonder how he feels about this.
I know
it's going to be a bit awkward. I'm chairman, but you're in charge.
And a lot of people are saying that he was pushed because of all the stuff around Xbox One, but I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either, because all that would have been high level decisions and based on trying to work with companies, as I've said many times before.
And one story I was going to add in, and I wasn't going to, then I thought I'm going to have to say it, but Edge are controversial this month, and they've had a controversial cover.
Oh.
Because they've basically said, don't buy an Xbox One, PS4's one, and why Xbox and Microsoft screwed up.
Wow. And but, we haven't got either of these products, and we don't know that the PlayStation's going to be any good at all, really. Wow.
And it's like, well...
That's like the Sun saying, support Labour.
And exactly, but I'm sure it's actually just please keep buying our magazine.
Yeah, just look, we're still here. Hello,
which is rich for me because I've got every one of them sitting just over there. But I did look at it and thought, wow, you know, if that was done like a week after E3,
yeah,
and it's got a whole lot of content about, you know,
DRM and stuff like that, yeah,
you're going to look pretty foolish. And I think they look foolish anyway, because to turn around now. And then and it was funny because that story broke and lots of you know, Sony fanboys going, yay! Lots of Microsoft fanboys going, you can't say that. And even I noticed Charlie Brooker was even saying, what a cock.
Yeah, you know, like, he normally knocks things on the head, doesn't he? He's normally
cock
on the pulse.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll be buying both anyway. He says, I'm tempted just to buy one, just to kind of...
I was about to say, though, actually, in some ways, because this is a much more expensive round of the gaming platform wars...
Yeah,
there's going to be far more people that cannot afford to buy both, and it is a one or other decision.
And I would, to be honest, I'd prefer not to buy both.
Mm.
I know how much.
I'd prefer it never rained, but it's never going to happen, Ian.
Yeah, I'd prefer to win Euromillions, but I'd like just to have one platform. It makes things a lot easier. But at the end of the day, you know, there's going to be some exclusives that come out that, and they might be enough that at one point they might tip the balance. I'm still pumping for Xbox just because of...
But you know you that know, you'll have the PlayStation eventually.
Aye, probably. I'd love to say no, but...
It's inevitable.
But it's not inevitable. It's not inevitable.
In your head, it's not inevitable. You're right.
Well, and then the other nice thing was that the kind of awards for E3 came out. And it was a couple of games in Xbox that picked up all the awards.
Yes, so it was the Mech Warrior, whatever it's called.
The big one that I was excited about, and you went, really?
Yeah, and I was, yeah, whatever. Really? I think it was, yeah. And then, and wasn't the other Ubisoft game also awarded the District, whatever it's called?
But basically, the other ones that got awards were all multi-platform.
Yes, so.
You know, so it was like, so it doesn't really matter. No. Unless there's a really remarkable amount of difference, but there won't be.
We're not going to know that for a while anyway. Even at launch, we won't know really which one's won. It takes a long time for it all to pan out.
No, because even...
Whose account's going to get hacked? Whose online service is going to crack? You know, all those.
When the 360 and PS3 came out, everybody was saying PS3 is just going to blow everything away. It's just so much more powerful.
Meh, meh. There we go. That is actually the end of the news, and we haven't got picks today, so that is the end of the podcast.
Come on.
Whoop-a-dee-doo. If you want to find out more, you can do digitaloutbox.com. Email at, oh dear gosh, I'm already tired. Email is info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter and Skype are Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK, and you can follow my racing at academyracer.co.uk. Next race is in, or the first proper race is in a couple of weeks. Exciting times.
10 days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, correct. It was already Wednesday. There you go. Ian, where can we find you?
Women Nick, Twitter is Sweeper, and blog is Indeed.net.
Thank you very much for listening to our tripe. Speak to you later.
Goodbye.
Email at what? that's mixing the social con. Oh, sod it. I'm giving up. I'm going. I'm storming off.